another of the outstanding young sports journos, keeping us wired into Oregon sports, Oregon State, and more with the team of Hayden Herrera, Aaron Slindy, getting it done for KVAL, KMTR Sports. On Twitter, the handle at TrevorDenton37. Trevor Denton, welcome to the show. How's life been treating you these days?
Hey, you're right about that. Getting paid to watch these sports and cover these sports right now, it is kind of a pinch me kind of moment being able to cover the Ducks and Beavers. But yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Pumped to be here.
As a first time guest, I know you've spent time many places around the country. Born and raised in Atlanta, not only SEC country, all the great pro sports. So a young Trevor, the family, was it about the Bulldogs, Braves, Falcons? Kind of take me through the sports pulse of the Denton household as you were growing up and becoming kind of a sports nut.
I'll tell you what, it was all about making that like hour and a half drive from suburban Atlanta to Athens, Georgia to watch the Bulldogs. That was our big thing. My dad was always... Even just bringing up the Falcons to my dad, you get like a groan, but the Bulldogs are his pride and joy. So that's what we grew up going to, and that's where what captured my imagination really as a sports fan was going to the dog walk, watching these mammoth humans, you know, walking off the bus and down to the stadium, and also, you know, getting to go to like Williams-Brice, getting to go to away games a lot of the times. We would travel on the weekends to go see the Dogs, go to the Georgia-Florida game. So there's always been this magic for me around college football. I mean, I remember growing up and just thinking those guys were superheroes. I didn't really need the Avengers. I had the Georgia Bulldogs. So that was our thing growing up for sure was college football.
Well, you know, I think you may have started a thing, though, when you think about blowing the 28-3 lead, just the history, the Falcon groan. Maybe your dad was onto something. You know, the bold move, of course, it's 2,200 miles from Atlanta to L.A. You attended USC, obviously a legendary school for journalism. So, Trevor, take me through that process. What was under consideration? What did you and your family ponder before you were sold on SC as where to further your education?
Yeah, you know, I think I've always kind of had a wandering eye and always wanted to, you know, expand my horizons. And my parents were very supportive of that. My dad especially just, you know, always wanted me to follow my dreams. And it turned out that USC, I think, was just kind of the best place to do that. Touring around campus, it's like literally like a movie set. But then just the opportunities of different things to cover there at the professional level, at the college level, all of those things combined, being in Los Angeles, you know, just made it such a great opportunity. And the internships there and stuff were incredible. You know, I used to commute and I used to work at NFL Network, you know, as a college kid doing stuff in the research department. So it's just like, you know, not many places in the country can you drive, you know, to an internship like that, and, you know, still get back in time for your night class. So it was a truly, truly special opportunity. Got to dabble in the cinematic arts school a little bit too. I mean, you can't not, you know, ignore that. That's such a cool opportunity too. So it was a really good time, and it was cool to expand my horizons a little bit.
Talking with Trevor Denton, KVAL, KMTR Sports. So, you know, being born in the late 90s, you mentioned your formative years in SEC country, studying in the Pac-12 land. I'm curious, back then, if you think before you got here, what was your perception of Duck football? Was it more the style, Nike, the brand? Kind of how did you view this university before you got here and saw this up close and personal?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it started obviously, like you said, like rooting for Georgia and watching SEC football. But, you know, talking about having a wandering eye and just, you know, expanding my horizons, like I just remember, you know, kind of being a little bit bored at times by the SEC in that era because, you know, my time was kind of like I really became a fan around like 05, you know, was when I was kind of cognizant of when everything was going on. So, like, 05 to like 2011, man, everything was the I formation. It was a very ground and pound style of offense that really it seemed like every team in the SEC had. So I was like, man, let me flip the channel and see what's going on in the Pac-12. And all of a sudden there's dual threat quarterbacks and there's the read option and the spread and all of these cool things, no huddle offenses. And, you know, and me and my dad kind of got into the Pac-12 a little bit. We started, you know, staying up for those Pac-12 after dark games at my insistence, because I'm like, Dad, you got to see what's going on with Oregon. It's not just the uniforms. It's the style of offense. And it's cool that it, you know, that it's spread. You know, now the SEC, everyone runs, right, you know, a variation of that Chip Kelly offense. So I think that Oregon captured my imagination as a kid and kind of let me know that, you know, there's a lot of possibilities in the sport and room for creativity. But I mean, I loved it. I loved Michael James. I loved Kenyon Barner. Darren Thomas was my guy. So actually, it's funny you asked that. So after kind of getting my dad into Pac-12 a little bit more, he took me to the 2010 Oregon State game. It was like, wow, our father son trip for the year. So I was obsessed with Pac-12 football even growing up in Atlanta, just because of the uniqueness of it.
Wow, talk about foreshadowing. As for this team, when it was announced Bo Nix was transferring from Auburn, it was always, well, good Bo, bad Bo, and it coincided home games versus road. Then, of course, the game one disaster back in your hometown, the comeback at Pullman. So from what you've observed, what about how Nix has upgraded, you know, his performance, regardless of geography, and how incredibly well he's played since game one?
Yeah, I think he's very comfortable right now. I think that he's not in the pressure cooker of playing for a school where he's a legacy, where people might actually, other students might say stuff to you on campus, or you might get, you know, angry messages on social media. I think things are more tame. I think he's able to focus more on ball here, and it sounds kind of counterintuitive that, you know, you would think he'd be a little more locked in, like playing in his hometown and all that. But I think there was so much pressure. He came in as the five-star, the legacy, like I said. And now I think he's playing a little more free. I think he's got a great relationship with Kenny Dillingham, obviously. And Dillingham's just done such a good job, I think, these last few weeks of calling plays to his strengths. And we've seen, you know, him show more in the running game than even he did at Auburn, just because of that play calling. So I think things have slowed down for him. I said it, you know, kind of at the beginning. I'm like, you know, he may not be like the most elite SEC guy, but he'll be great in the Pac-12. Like, there was a, and that's no knock on the Pac-12. I just think that, you know, like, the game's a little different and it's more suited to him, honestly, like with his dual threat ability, being able to run around in the Pac-12. And there was a game 2019 against LSU, the best good bow game, where he just went off and was looking like Johnny Manziel. And I always think back to that game as like a sign of his potential. But yeah, I think it's comfort right now for him. And I think the fact that he's able to focus on ball and not have a lot of that outside noise that he was dealing with, the pressure of being, you know, in the plains.
Entering this season, the talk was whether it was Nick's new running backs and experienced receivers, this veteran talented offensive line would make maybe life for everybody easier. And truth be told, they didn't really play poorly in Atlanta, just the defense put the offense in a ridiculous hole. But when you consider that there have been injuries, those expectations, how big have the Duck offensive line played? I mean, talk about coming across with the goods.
Yeah, I said it at one point during the offseason. I'm like, Mario Cristobal leaving Dan Lanning, that offensive line, is like when you buy a new house and they still got the sectional in there. Maybe they left behind a little hot tub, you know. The grass is all groomed nice. Like, that is the biggest gift that Mario Cristobal gave Dan Lanning by far is the recruiting of both front sevens, really, but especially that offensive line. And yeah, they're experienced. They're mature. I think they know how to police themselves, which is always really good. Also something you see at Oregon State with a veteran group. So, you know, and they've played in a lot of big games. They've been in Fiesta Bowls and some of them Rose Bowls and stuff. So I think you're seeing that. It's a very cohesive unit right now. And that's the best thing Cristobal left behind, I think, by far.
Few final thoughts, Trevor Denton, KVAL Sports, on to Oregon State. Finally snapped the bowl drought last season, swept the non-conference slate, that go-for-two finish at Fresno, and then, you know, the loss to USC with the four interceptions was kind of a gut punch, imploded at Utah. Then last week, I mean, you got to be kidding me, the miracle to Treshawn Harrison. So what about that play and kind of the spark it gives them heading into tomorrow's game against the Cougs at Reser?
Yeah, I think there's confidence from that, right? I think there's confidence from being able to pull a rabbit out of your hat like that, not once, but twice this season. Like, two times that, you know, that ESPN, like, final score predictor was at, like, 99% for the other team and being able to pull out a win, it creates a lot of confidence. Now they just need a complete game. I don't know if we've fully seen that, the passing game, the running game clicking at the same time, and the discipline. Like, we haven't seen everything kind of all working at once, and I think that's what they're going to need against Wazoo. They're going to need another, you know, big game in the running game, another big game from Damian Martinez. I think it's time to unleash him. He might not have been fully ready at the beginning of the year. I think he's ready to go now. So I think those give the team confidence, and it's kind of kept their hopes alive, you know, just being able to pull a win out at the end there. It just shows they have a lot of character too. You know, they have a lot of belief in themselves that hasn't been the case in past Beavers teams that we've seen.
To your alma mater, USC, you know, obviously the wild off-season news that Lincoln Kennedy would leave Oklahoma for the West Coast version of a blue blood, hit the portal hard, Caleb Williams at quarterback, Jordan Addison at receiver. So I'm kind of curious, if you kind of put it all in one bucket, what was the reaction among you and your alma mater and those you're in touch with to Kennedy getting this gig, and how they've played so far, rising to number 7?
Well, I mean, when it happened, there's just such disbelief. Like, I like, you know, almost threw my phone into the air just out of excitement, and not just as a USC fan, but also for the Pac-12 at the time, being excited for the conference. Obviously, that ended up imploding, but I just didn't know if they had a move like that in them. Like, I didn't know. I don't think anyone that has been around USC, you know, since the Pete Carroll era, knew for sure, like, is USC still USC? What kind of pool do they have? Who can they get? You know, you kept hearing about, like, James Franklin not having interest, you know, and stuff like that. I had talked myself into Matt Campbell. I mean, I don't think that would have been a, you know, a bad hire. I don't think it's on the level of Lincoln Riley. So I don't think anyone around USC really expected them to pull off a hire like that with a guy that proven. So it was very, very exciting. I think in terms of the team this year, you know, I mean, I think people poke holes in the defense, but I think it's a very underrated unit. I mean, what they were able to do against Wazoo, holding them to 14 points, we saw the takeaways that they were able to get against Oregon State. So I think that the culture turned around immediately. I think also the cool thing to see is, like, some of, like, the guys that have been around forever, like, that maybe didn't do much in the Clay Helton era or never fully developed, like, those guys getting playing time is really cool and rewarding to see, because I know those guys have just been through a ton of intense negativity. So the fact that there's positivity around the program again is really, really cool.
And, of course, the big one tomorrow.
At least for me, maybe not for the Ducks fans out there.
And they got this monster game in SLC tomorrow. And speaking of, you know, the mid-weekend of October is upon us, a lot happening. So, Trevor, play marketing director for your stations. Who, when, where, you know, what kind of coverage can we expect from you and the great sports crew tonight through the weekend?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll be on KVAL tonight for Friday Night Fever. Got a great slate of local games going on tonight. I'll be at, like, Cresswell and Churchill, so very excited for that. Love those Friday Night Lights. Also another thing that's just kind of in my blood from growing up in Georgia, so I love that. Very passionate about high school football. Obviously, we got Friday Night Fever, too, with Ronald Clark and Aaron Slindy over on KMTR, if that's more your flavor. And then this weekend, I'll actually be holding it down in the studio. I'll be you know, holding down the fort while Ronald Clark and Aaron Slindy will be out at Washington State, Oregon State, and they'll have all your live shots, all that stuff, all your reports from that game, and we'll have the highlights. Very exciting game. I think that two teams in kind of desperation mode right now for a win, not able to get that signature win early, and now they both are in must-win mode. So excited to have your coverage on that and your highlights this weekend.
Folks, he's Trevor Denton. Terrific new sports journalism, relatively, here in our Eugene Springfield market. Check out KVAL.com. On Twitter, follow along. Use the handle at TrevorDenton37. Trevor, fun stuff. Great job. Much appreciate the time. Have a terrific weekend, and look forward to talking again soon. And thank you for finding some time to join us.
Of course. Thank you so much, Steve. Enjoy the weekend as well.
All right. Take it easy.